The second lesson of our scripture today is recorded in the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading today from chapter 12, beginning with verse 38 and continuing through 44. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all these who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our scripture reading today begins with a sudden statement of trouble by the scribes. Jesus, in this dialogue that he's about to begin with his disciples, hints to us early on in this passage the cuss, the challenge, the temptation of worldly fame, adulation, and perhaps even just the trappings of wanting the approval of everybody around us. In our text, we hear in the first two verses where the scripture says that the scribes wanted respect in the marketplace and they wanted honor at prestigious events or banquets. In other words, they wanted to be well thought of. In that time, during the first century, the scribes were thought of as an occupation of poverty, one who did not take a compensation, a salary, but to offset that role. It was very well thought of when upstanding people of the community would embrace a scribe and their family, supporting them financially, and in many ways the model that had started out as a call to humility and service was an opportunity for them to take advantage of the people around them. They had turned it upside down, Jesus is saying. Instead of having a ministry of serving everyone around them, many of the scribes in the first century had sought to be served. And even as Jesus said in our text today, took advantage of even the poor widows of the community. That's on the surface of what our Lord shares with us, the challenges and the trappings of the scribes in our text today. But you know, I think if we look and strive to apply this text to our personal lives, we can hear a message of correction and maybe even comfort for us who struggle with some of these trappings ourselves. The trappings of wanting that constant respect and honor and approval of others. Maybe we would even call it an addiction to approval. In his book titled The Lies We Believe, Dr. Chris Thurman breaks down for us many of the social and psychological perils that we wrestle with as people that bring brokenness to our individual lives and to the lives of our family and maybe even our workplace. Thurman says this. He says, we often tell ourselves lies. We believe things culturally that are truly guides that leave us with peril in our life. One of the most pervasive lies that Chris Thurman highlights in his book is this one. He says, I must have everyone's love and approval. Thurman writes about this issue with such passion because he said, for years, this lie has plagued me personally. I thought that I embraced this mentality. I quote Thurman here. He says, people who believe this lie are basically saying to themselves, it is essential that everyone I come in contact with like me, accept me, approve of me, love me, think that I am the best thing since sliced bread. And if people don't view me that way, my life as I know it isn't worth living. Friends, that's an addiction approval that Thurman speaks of. But he says when we are hungry for always having the accolades of the scribe, to have everyone's respect and honor at all times, that we, like a perfectionist, are simply setting ourselves up for failure. Because he said we become like a chameleon. We're changing for every person, every setting that we're in, striving to get their approval, their attention, their respect. And he said if we ever get it, we can't celebrate it because we sold out to get it in the process. We lost ourselves in the words of the scripture. As the text tells us, what does it mean to gain the whole world and lose our soul or lose who we are? So you see, there's a challenge in our scripture today and a reminder to us that our goal, dear children of God, is to not so much serve the opinions of the world around us, but to serve first and foremost the opinion of the one who made us. You know, what I see going on is when we are addicted to other people's approval, here's what happens. When I embrace this nature, when I'm at my worst, it seems that their opinion of me becomes more important than God's opinion of me. Not only that, if we want someone to love us above all others, you know whose place we're taking? We're taking God's place. Because He's the one that's to be loved over all others. So really, what's happening with the scribes in our text today, not only are they yearning for everyone's love and respect and adulation, they're taking God's reverence and respect from the people. They're putting themselves even ahead of God. When we embrace this addiction to approval, we give to other people God's place in our life. And we want God's place in their life. That's what happens when we're fully broken in striving to get everyone's love and adulation. We're replacing what's meant only for God. So in our text, Jesus addresses this peril of the scribes head on, but then he transitions from saying the opposite of serving only self is serving others, and most importantly, serving God. To use that, Jesus introduces us to a concept of our faith known as sacrifice. As Pat read the scripture from Hebrews this morning, the writer of Hebrews got it right when he said Jesus Christ came to our world to embody this nature, to be the sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice for our sins by placing us ahead of Him. You know, if you think of that word sacrifice, It comes from the Latin word sacer, which is a derivative of sacred. And then the sacrifice portion reminds us to embody something that we do. To be sacer is to be holy. Holy before God, and to sacrifice is to practice being holy before God. That's what happens when we embody a nature of sacrifice in serving those around us. So with this transition, Jesus tells us this story of the widow. The widow who, unlike the scribe, sought to be served, gave all that she had to serve those around her and to serve her God. He turns the faith upside down. Instead of being self-serving, to be world-serving and serving most of all the Savior and Lord of all creation. Last evening, I had the opportunity to share and hear Coach Matt Deggs, the head baseball coach of Sam Houston State University. And Coach Deggs shared his emotional story of his journey of learning the importance of sacrifice. Coach Deggs, some 7 years ago, was the associate head coach for Texas A&M University and their baseball program. He was on the cusp of securing a head coach job and the SEC. But everything came crashing down on Deggs as he wrestled with his own addiction. An addiction that had him in the grips of alcohol that plagued his life, almost lost his family, made him want to give up life altogether. He was eventually fired and fell from grace. But with God's grace and love, some 400 days later, he transitioned back to the game he loved, eventually became the head coach at Sam Houston State University, and has taken that program on to prominence he'd never known before. But where Deggs' life really changed from being a transactional coach, what's in it for me? What can you do for me? How can you respect me? How can you honor me in the words of the scribes? When his life transitioned from a transactional coach to a transformational coach where he sought to serve others. He said it wasn't in the victories, but it was in the defeat. After getting shellacked, in his words, by 19-0 in the super regionals of the NCAA by Florida State, Deggs gave a press conference that went viral, that's been watched by 50 million people worldwide, where he responded to adversity and defeat by saying and ending his statement about transitioning to a transformational coach to making this statement here. He said, "There is no greater honor in this world than to sacrifice for a brother, for a sister, for a family member." You see, Deggs is saying to us professionally, what inspires greatness and helps us to achieve the most is not in being served, but in serving another. He applies it to the game of sport, how sacrifice changes lives and the world around us. But also, many of us remember reading the words of Tom Brokaw in his wonderful book called The Greatest Generation, where Brokaw said this. He said that these marriages and the men and women brought to them, they seem curiously odd to us as modern day people. He said we may have a difficult time relating to a love affair forged by sacrifice and separation, faith and commitment. You see, Brokaw would say as we celebrate this day, the veterans who risked their lives so that we as a nation can have the gift of liberty and freedom. In that great work of Brokaw's, he said what fueled that passion for families to serve their country, to serve their family, was built upon this word, sacrifice. And friends, isn't it true that the greatest gift our world has ever known was built upon the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, who put us ahead of Him, who embraced the peril of the cross to set us free from death and dying and brokenness forever. Yes, we are gifted with God's sacrifice for us. So the question begs perhaps today, if we are people who are set apart because of Christ's sacrifice to us, and it's His gift that has changed the world eternally, then why, preacher, why are you telling us that we need to sacrifice? We have one who has sacrificed for us. You see, I think our Lord calls us to embody in every way we can His nature, to follow in His way, to know the joy of living outside of ourselves. If sacrifice improves the performance of a baseball team, if sacrifice inspires people to serve their country, their family back home, in the risk of losing their own life, then friends, may we, in the nature of our Lord, embrace this high calling of faith. For you see, when our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed, here's what happened. The story didn't end with His death. Through a miracle of God's grace, He was restored and resurrected to life. You see, through sacrifice, Jesus saw and tasted the miracle of the Father. Who knows, when we as His children embody a commitment of sacrifice, then maybe we too get to see and be a part of God's miracles in our lives as we minister to the world around us to His glory. Amen. Let's respond in